Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Thursday morning, a dreary day throughout the Delaware Valley. But if you were afraid about snow, well, you didn't get that. You got rain. And a lot of it still coming down. We'll see if it turns to snow later on. Hey, a lot to get to. Nick Sirianni on with Angelo earlier today. And, you know, that interview, our assessment of Sirianni's first season as Eagles head coach. Of course, Joel Embiid, what can you say? And we'll say a lot. He was phenomenal last night. Absolutely phenomenal. We'll get to that. Flyers versus Columbus tonight. A lot to do, all with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, John.
Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television.
Wow.
And it was 1952, April 30th, 1952.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was Mr. Potato Head was cool. I had a Mr. Potato Head when I was a little young child.
Young whippersnapper.
Yeah, but the popularity was aided by the fact that that's the first toy. Think about that. The first toy kids around the world ever saw on TV.
It's pretty wild, actually.
I want that.
It is. I'm actually chuckling in part because I, you know, reading my book on Mr. Rogers last night, and Mr. Rogers did not want and did not permit commercials in his show geared toward trying to advertise to kids. So they didn't have it. Sesame Street would have commercials geared to kids. Mr. Rogers wouldn't, because he said that's not right to advertise to kids. So, I don't know. The guy had standards. All right, 215-592-9494.
Wow, that's tough on his, like,
IRA. Yes, on making,
his bottom line, as they say,
Yeah, exactly. It was a noble, he had to convince PBS. No targeting kids. All right, let's get to it here. Sirianni. Well, first, let me just say this before we even get to Sirianni. Joel Embiid, and I welcome all phone calls on Embiid last night. 215-592-9494. This guy is one of the great players we've had. Forget modern sports Philadelphia history. One of the great players we've had in Philly sports history. He is unbelievable. Now, we know, and he knows, you listened to him postgame last night, he knows that he and they got to get it done in the playoffs for him to enter a conversation of pantheons, NBA greats and all that. Because until you get past the second round and really do something truly meaningful in the playoffs, your name just can't really be there. But what a player, guys. I mean, what a player. For those that missed it, 50 points from Embiid last night in less than 30 minutes. It was what we needed as Philadelphia sports fans, given that, you know, the Eagles eliminated, the Phillies, you know, have been 500, and we don't even know when they're going to play. The Flyers stink. I mean, they stink. So Embiid is rescuing this 76er season where there's still great relevancy. They're only 2.5 games out of the top spot in the East, and they've got a shot to make this a fun playoff run, you know, April, May, maybe June, we'll see. So the guy is unbelievable, and I welcome all phone calls on the greatness of Embiid at 215-592-9494. I do hope they don't waste his prime like the Sixers wasted Barkley's prime. That's a whole nother matter. All of it's on the table. All right, John, let's get to Sirianni. He was on with Angelo today. We will replay that interview in its entirety later on in our show. 12:45 today, if you missed it. 12:45, Sirianni and Angelo hear the entire interview. Covered a lot of ground. John, let's kind of get on the record where you are, where I am, where everyone is, 215-592-9494, on Sirianni after year one with the Eagles. John, here's where I stand. I am skeptical about Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach. Frankly, I actually don't know if the Eagles have a good coach, a bad coach, or an average coach, which is kind of weird to say after a whole season. But I'm just not really sure. I know this. There was more that I was discouraged by with Sirianni than encouraged by. And that's despite the fact that they made the playoffs with an
I don't know how you can say that.
You know, there was just some things that just really bugged me, John. Really bugged me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was bugged by a lot that I saw, too. But when you weigh out the grand scheme of things, Nick Sirianni overcame crazy odds, an incomplete roster, you know, substandard play from almost every offensive skill position, from, you know, with very consistent from the wide receiver position, sometimes inconsistent from the quarterback spot. He put this team of, you know, medium talent guys in position to win a lot of games. And remember, like, that's after reversing out of the initial plan.
Yes, it was.
Like, he completely reversed out, showed some real chutzpah and bravery. I don't know if I used chutzpah right there. it felt like the right word. I have no idea if that was right. Completely 180 your initial plan after six or seven games. You don't see coaches doing that. I think I give him a lot of credit. That is putting yourself in, you know, in target bullseye territory.
Sure.
And it worked. It worked. The one thing you could say he had to work into his advantage was a great offensive line. But as an offensive play caller, first-time offensive play caller, he was able to do some pretty nice things, put his guys in optimal positions. I'm not saying, you know, he's the cat's meow yet.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm saying, like, with what he had to work with, making the postseason, like, I too am somewhat confused.
Yep.
Because I don't know how much to weigh that horrendous schedule against what seem to be really positive qualities coming from Nick.
Yeah, I get it.
That makes it tough. But I'll tell you, the bond, when we listen to the press conference yesterday with both him and Howie Roseman up there on the podium, the bond that he displays, it's very clear to me, and I think probably a lot of people, that he is a lot more sold on Jalen Hurts than Howie Roseman is. I think that bond will matter. I'm excited about that bond. I saw a similar bond when I was here and Andy Reid was the coach and Donovan McNabb was his quarterback.
Right.
That's indispensable. That's two guys who really believe in one another and are going to work together. You know, cooperative coaching and playing.
But what did that get the Eagles 5 days ago in a playoff game? Got them squat-tah. Got them blown out.
Okay.
Got them blown out.
You're right.
They
did not have much of a chance in that game.
Well,
and I'm saying it's not entirely on the poor play calling from Nick Sirianni. Like, I think he knows what he has in his quarterback, really loves what lies on the horizon, but acknowledges and knows he's not quite ready to take on a challenge as big as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I mean, the Eagles clearly were deficient compared to Tampa Bay, and that is so overwhelmingly obvious, especially after watching the game. Look, opportunity for everyone
to jump in. Think about that game. First-year coach.
I have many times.
First-year coach.
Yes.
A 23-year-old under center.
I know.
Against the GOAT.
I know.
And Bruce Arians, who's been there and done that a million times.
Defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, who got a lot of their, you know, injured players back and all that. Look, 215-592-9494.
He gave us something we could be proud of.
Well, okay, let me say this. Everyone can weigh in on Sirianni. After year one, you are where with Nick. I mean, what do you think of this guy? Good coach? Bad coach? Hard to tell? I mean, hard to tell, I think, is the most basic answer. But, you know, and that's why I say skeptical. I mean, I'm not really sure. But I'll tell you this, John.
You can't say
I'll tell you why I am more discouraged than encouraged. And by the way, let me be clear.
I'm surprised.
Let me be clear. I like the guy a lot. Like the guy? Dude? What a guy.
He's like impossible
what a guy.
To not like.
I want to hang out with Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
Yo, Nick, if you're free sometime in the offseason, let's have a beer together.
Yeah. Well, after today, he might not want to hang out with you, Jeff.
Well, he might not, but he's open-minded. So I'd say, hey, Nick, come on over and I'll tell you what you did wrong. You'd be a better coach. I mean, I am here to, after all, help the Philadelphia sports scene. I'm just trying to make these teams and players and coaches better. Look, good guy, obviously. Totally rootable, obviously. Things I was encouraged by, John. Encouraged. Making the playoffs with less than a stellar roster is impressive. Yes, it was aided by a not great schedule, but, you know, that was impressive. He made the playoffs. A lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. That was good. Second half of the season improvement. Hey, look, all you can do is take the guys you have and try to make them better. And the team did get better as the season went on. Now, again, funky because back half of the schedule easy, so it's hard to read too much into it, but they improved, and that's good. Commitment to run, that was great. There were people that said, like, Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie will not permit a running team to exist under their watch. Well,
right.
it happened.
And that takes some strength. That takes some commitment on Nick's part. I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
But the problem is he didn't know that was the plan until week 8.
Correct.
Or whatever
I'll get to that in a second. Another thing I was encouraged by, the offense did, despite not having great talent, they did score a lot. I mean, they actually moved. Now, again, you can say, but it was against bad defenses. Probably true. But they actually did tally some pretty good, you know, yardage and scoring through the year. And I thought the players, for the most part, really seemed to play hard. They seemed to buy into him. They seem to like and respect him.
That has to matter a lot.
That does.
The players love Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
The players defend Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
When he said one of the dumbest, you know, analogies to, you know, the media with the flower and you just water it and it pops out of there. Like, that was horrendous.
Yeah.
And the guys rallied behind
that.
They
did. They
had
his back. They had his back. But let me tell you the things that I was discouraged by with Sirianni. And again, everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Let's start with the start. And I'm not talking about the press conference a year ago. It doesn't matter anymore. The start of the season. Let's talk. And I'm not saying just the Falcons game. I mean the first handful of games, the first half of the season. He had a clear lack of understanding of his team to start the season. What they would do good, what they would not do good. I guess it was from a lack of understanding from training camp and the preseason that they basically punted away. And so games that were winnable early, San Fran, I mean, the Chiefs, it's hard to win, but if they had done some things different, maybe they could have won when KC was vulnerable. I mean, he just did not understand early in the year, we have to be a running team. My quarterback
and
is...
And I struggle with that all the time.
I mean, he didn't understand...
Why the delay?
Yes!
Why did it take you more than a third of the year to know what this team was?
Yes.
And I do put that on Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Don't question that.
I know you do.
I also put that on the front office that said, hey, you know what? We don't play in the preseason anymore.
We don't
even practice in the preseason. We're going to protect these guys come hell or high water.
Yeah.
Because that's what gives us the best chance.
Now, look,
Nick never had the opportunity to learn what he had to work with.
I know. And look, you can make the case not playing the guys much in the beginning actually kept him healthier for the end. The Eagles were very healthy this year. Maybe it worked. But he still should have known.
I know that wasn't Nick's choice.
He still should have
known. I guarantee you that's not the coaching staff's choice to say, hey, you know what? We don't need to practice.
Yeah.
He wanted to evaluate these players. He was never permitted to do that until regular season games.
All right, what else am I discouraged by? His team never beat a good team. The only sort of even average team they beat was Denver.
The Saints.
The Saints, but they had nothing.
Saints were better than Denver.
I guess.
They were 9-8.
Two,
almost made the playoffs.
Okay, but hold on. But the Saints were with their third string
exactly.
quarterback.
That's what I mean.
And still better than Denver.
But they were with.
I don't know about
but
that.
But they were. Hold
not
on.
That day.
I think they might be better than Denver when they've got Alvin Kamara.
I mean, you were the one saying Trevor Siemian's great going in that game. I mean, let's not get carried away here.
He knew what he was looking at.
Can we all agree the Eagles did not beat a good team?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. No,
I agree. I'm just saying Saints. I was saying Saints are better than Broncos.
So didn't.
Okay, but it's Saints with Kamara are better than Broncos.
Didn't beat a good team. Other things discouraged by. I thought Sirianni's management, what I would call mismanagement of Jonathan Gannon, was really alarming. The head coach's job is to coach the players. The head coach's job is also to coach the other coaches. And I thought Jonathan Gannon had like free reign to do ridiculousness with the defense. And every time the Eagles would face a good quarterback, it didn't work. Now you can say, well, he had less talent, and that's true. But I mean, my God, can the head coach please tell the defensive coordinator to do something different? So that drove me nuts. I thought it was remarkable.
I don't understand that. What you just said there.
Yep.
Tell the defensive coordinator to do something different.
Yes.
That's a little bit vague.
John, it's his
tell
job.
Tell him to do something.
He's the head coach.
No, don't you agree that Nick, being the offensive guy, seems to have handed that defensive side of the ball off to Jonathan Gannon?
Yeah, of course
he didn't realize Jonathan Gannon was going to be such a dud for the majority of the season.
First off, he hired him.
Do anything that's brave.
But let's remember
that's
this.
A problem.
Guys, Sirianni hired Gannon. That's not a Lurie or Roseman hire. Sirianni was his buddy from Indianapolis. He hired him. Mm-hmm. I'm not enthralled with the Gannon thing. So to me, that's a mark against Sirianni. So too, and you would talk about mismanagement, his continuous play of Rager, both as a wide receiver and a punt return, was a disgrace. It was obvious halfway through the year, earlier, but let's just go halfway, that Rager doesn't have it.
This is one of those things, it's like you're going to blame Nick.
I am going to blame Nick.
That I believe is coming up from above.
You know what? You got to have big, you know what, man. You got to go up to Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and saying, guys, I'm trying to win games. I can't play this guy. He's not good enough.
All right, let's take it in steps. Like, he did that with the running game. He did that with the running game.
I know he did.
I think it's more difficult to say, hey, GM, your guy that you brought in here, I'm not going to use him. Your first-round pick from 2020, forget it. I can't put him out there. Like, that's a tough sell.
I get it. Look, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, where everyone stands on Sirianni. One final thing. The final other discouragement is just the way the whole thing ended. They not only get crushed by Tampa, but Sirianni was, like, inept in making adjustments early in the game to help the offense with some simple things based on what Tampa was doing to them defensively. I just thought it was unbelievable. Big picture, I'll say this. I like the dude. He had some good moments this year. The team played hard. But I need, and I think we all should need, Sirianni to get a lot better for this team to go where we hope they go. Because honestly, I don't think he was good enough. I don't. I'm not calling for him to be fired. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I don't think he was good enough.
Look, all the blame you put on him, I put a majority of that on Howie Roseman. If he would have had better players to work with, it would have looked better.
All right, after year one of Sirianni, where do you stand? Where do we stand with Sirianni as the Eagles head coach? Let's kick it off with John and Manionk. What's up, John?
What up, Savant?
Hey, buddy.
Always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I didn't call yesterday because I wanted to hear everyone's thought. And to be honest with you, I'm just more stunned that everybody kind of fell for that fourth quarter mirage. Because for the first three, listen, I exaggerate, okay? I tend to use hyperbole to make stories better, okay? I don't need to exaggerate when I say that first two, three quarters of football was some of the worst football offensively I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was really bad.
That was like Mark Sanchez butt fumble, like chaos in the backfield a couple times, where it looked like we weren't even on the same page.
Yeah, it was. And they had 14 days to prepare for that team.
Correct.
They basically knew there was really good chance they're going to play Tampa. I doubt the coaches were doing much on Dallas Week 18. They had 14 days to prepare for Tampa, and that's what they came out
with. Tampa is just way superior.
It could be that simple, but it was the lack of adjustments was really alarming.
What are you talking about? Okay.
Go ahead, John.
There was a point in the game where our botched punt had more yardage than our offensive movement. And on top of that, to your point, though, about adjustments, like, I'm sorry. Like, they just, like, to your point about, you know, maybe they're a better team, half the Bucs were hurt. That's the other part that no one's talking about.
Well, it wasn't.
They were down four players, and they lost two or three players during the game. So they weren't a shell of what they could have been,
they
still took us out the shed and beat us to death. Now, here's something I'll talk about with Sirianni. I think the guy clearly can't public speak. So people think he's a dope because
he's gotten better at it, though, John.
He's gotten better, but I think I bet he's a really smart football guy. The guys clearly like him and the players. So I just think he's just not good at regurgitating. And I'm not going to fall for that again because, remember, everybody called Doug Peterson a moron when he couldn't put the headset on and he kind of said some stupid stuff at first. And, you know, he ended up winning us the only chip. So I don't want to call the guy out too hard.
Yep.
But I just think it's clear that we're just not very good. I don't think it's Sirianni or Hurts. I think they're both just down the road, middle of the pack guys. I think they both can improve. They both have higher ceilings. But I just, what I saw on that game, like that was like, to me, that game was the poster board argument for why that whole, just get the playoffs and see what happens is stupid.
All right.
Because no,
all right.
We had no business. We had no business being in the playoffs. We had no business playing that team.
All right,
and I think
John. We got you. Appreciate the call.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I know that last point involved with you. Yeah.
That was inappropriate. That game itself, the discrepancy in talent on that field.
I don't know why you sign off and then saying let's have a 7th seed to make the playoffs. I mean, to me, it's incongruent. You want the 7th seed to make it.
Because I think more playoffs.
Yeah, but that aside from
I
the
love
Eagles,
the excitement
that
of playoff
That was nonsense,
games.
Man. The Steelers versus Chiefs was nonsense. That's garbage. 7th seed in the playoffs.
Look,
have a certain
I'm ticked
standard
if I'm the 2 seed and I have to play.
There's that
but
factor.
I'm not the 2 seed. I don't have to play. I get to watch it, so I'm cool with it.
You know, it's only a matter of time. I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, so they let 8 teams in the playoffs. And then the 2nd seed gets a bye again. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
18-week season or 18-game season. We're definitely at that.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you got the NBA expanded to playoffs, but they won't even tell you they expanded to playoffs. They call it a play-in tournament. Oh, okay, a play-in tournament. Let's go to Chiro. Chiro, you're on WIP.
What's going on, guys? I had to take you off speaker for a second.
Hey, buddy. How are you, Chiro?
I wasn't doing too bad this morning. I woke up. I was like, you know what? Today could be a good day. And then I heard Nick Sirianni's interview with Angelo Cattotti. What the hell is he talking about when he says that the problem with Rager is he was getting all these touches in college and high school, he's not getting as many touches in the pros? It looks like we're force-feeding this man, and you're trying to sell us on the reason he's not doing as good is because he's not as involved? It seemed like you tried to implant him in the offense more than Devontae Smith. They better not bring Jalen Rager back. I mean, I'm not trying to kill the guy. I know he's a young kid.
Yep.
It's not his fault he was drafted that high. But you need to cut your losses and move forward. I don't want
Chiro, here's the only thing I'll tell you, man. Listen, Rager could be back. There's no doubt he could be back. But I will say this. I vividly remember when the Eagles lost to Carolina, John's team 03. They lose that game January of 04. I remember sitting right in the front row to the left, Andy Reid's press conference the day after that game. and he gave an answer about James Thrash and Todd Pinkston about how they can win with those guys. And I said to myself listening to him, there's no way he actually believes that. He's just saying that. And sure enough, they got rid of they kept Pinkston, but they got rid of Thrash. They brought in T.O. I say that to say this, Chiro. You got to take some of these words by coaches and GMs after a season before they've made the moves they're going to make somewhat with a grain of salt. He's covering for a player that he knows is inadequate.
I hope you're right. And last thing I want to say is Daryl Morey, TikTok, get this man JoJo some damn help, please.
Dude, I agree with you, man. I mean, John, if you're Embiid, I mean, you got like a boulder on your back. I mean, first
he's Sisyphus.
I mean, right, exactly.
To throw it back,
yeah.
Right?
Well, he's supposed to,
he's
yeah,
pushing
try to get
the boulder up
out.
The hill, and he's got no help, and he can't keep rolling down.
He's pushing the boulder up the hill with a boulder on his back. I mean, look, they get booed off the court at halftime last night because they're down to a horrible team. Mm-hmm. They only win basically because of him. I mean, all the time. I mean, he is so unbelievable, and the lack of help that he gets is so astounding. And you guys know my fear. It could be a Barkley scenario all over again. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Joel stays, and I hope they put the right pieces around him. But my God, and I'm not trying to dwell negative here. I say this to say this dude's amazing. I mean, this guy is the best player in Philly sports.
Amazing, and more amazing this week than he was last week. Like it's growing game by game.
Yeah, he's
excellent.
He's gotten back into last year's.
I've never seen anything like this.
It's really impressive. Yeah. It really is. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. All right, Sirianni after year one, where you stand with him as the Eagles head coach? Think he's the right one? Not sure. I mean, where do you stand on that? And Embiid, the greatness, the whole deal.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
We have to take a break, but I thought it was crazy. Getting back to that Jalen Reagor, the quote that he had about Jalen Reagor just doesn't get the touches like he did in college. You realize, like, his last season in college, everyone was saying, when they drafted him, I'm saying, why did he only have 43 catches for 611 yards?
Yep.
He had 43 catches for 611 yards. His last year at TCU, he wasn't getting the ball there either because he's not good.
Yeah, it's
that's the problem, Nick. But Nick can't say that.
Can't
so
say
I guess
it.
He tried to invent a reason.
But I will say he goes annoyingly overboard in his I don't want to say something negative. Praise.
He does.
I mean, it's like Nick, slow that roll down, dude. You don't have to go there because then you do sound like a buffoon.
I hope he reevaluates the way he approaches this. And if the guy is unworthy, you can say that. Like, he's trying to be everyone's friend still.
Yeah.
And it's time to start getting tough with some of these
guys. You also got to be real to fans. And you got to be tough with the players. I agree. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. What a song this one is. Holy smokes. 94 WIP. This goes back to the old YSP days here on 94.1. All right, so I was in a tough spot yesterday, and I need a ruling, John, from you and James. An awkward spot. You guys might remember about a year ago, there was a radio station somewhere in the nation. I think it was in San Fran, that brought me on to talk about, I guess it was after the season.
Oh, I do remember this.
About Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, what do you do when you know, they say, hey, our team's thinking about trading for Ben Simmons. Like, what do you do? Do I tell them that he stinks, or do I say that, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread? Well, I was in another one of those spots yesterday. A Denver radio station asked me to come on to talk about who, John? Who would Denver want to talk to me about? John Gannon.
Oh, Johnny.
John Gannon.
JG.
Because he was being interviewed yesterday in Denver. So they wanted to interview me like, hey, what does Philadelphia think of Jonathan Gannon? And obviously I said, dude's Lombardi reincarnated. I mean, this guy, like Lombardi and Belichick have nothing on Gannon. So now.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I didn't say that. I told him I think he stinks. No, here's what I did. I said I was incredibly unimpressed, but I recognize two things. One, he did not have a ton to work with defensively. And two, people that spend a lot of time around him say that he's very, very impressive in person. And when we've heard him speak at the podium, we are very impressed with how he speaks. So I said, take that for what it's worth. He's probably going to blow it away in the interview. But what I saw for 17, actually 18 games was I was unimpressed with him as a defensive coordinator. You want to hire him? Go for it. Now, did I do Philadelphia dirty by not making this guy seem like a...
No, I think that's fair. Like, I would hope that Broncos, like, front office is not listening to the radio and saying, Jody Cameron doesn't like what John Gannon did. We're out. We're out on Gannon.
But, John, are you actively rooting for Gannon to get a head coaching job to be out here?
I'm actually not, because I know it's just impossible.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No,
I don't know about
there
that.
There is no way.
John, I don't know about that, man.
There is no way this guy gets a head coaching job in the NFL after this season.
I don't know about that.
You know what this is?
We would have said the same thing about Nick Sirianni after last. I'm sure people in Indy were like, no way this guy's a head coach.
Totally would have said the same thing about Sirianni 12 months ago.
I mean, I'll bet you. You want to bet? You want to make a bet?
Here's the only thing I don't like about it. I think there's a better chance he's not a coach than a coach, but not enough that I'd say, like, yeah, let's make that. Like, I think he's got about a 35-40% chance to get a job.
I think he's got a 2% chance.
Oh, I think it's like 20 to 25%.
All right, let's go to the phones. Where we all stand on Sirianni, 215-592-9494, and the greatness of Embiid. How beautiful was that? Let's go to Joe in Mayfair. Joe, you're on WIP.
Good morning, gentlemen, and before I get into the Embiid and the Sixers, with Nick Sirianni, you know, it's a mixed bag. First-year head coach, young head coach, working for Lurie and Roseman, who are involved, you know, more than lightly in an organization.
Yeah, that balance. That balancing act that Sirianni did, also, I didn't mention how impressive that is.
Yeah, I think juggling personalities, characters, how to push buttons, I think is his number one trait.
Yeah.
But to win in the NFL, you have to think quickly on the fly and hold your people accountable. And I know you don't do it in press conferences, but watching the Tampa Bay game again, and plays that come to mind defensively for the Eagles, Tom Brady threw the ball every time to the receiver, tight end, or running back where the defense was soft and allowed that player to make a play with the ball in their hand. It was that obvious. Mike Evans' touchdown pass, no one touched him. He ran a clear route, a post pattern, clearly as day. No one touched him. And that's the problem with our defense all year. And for a head coach not to pull your defensive coordinator aside and say, hey, your corner's got to be up. They got to chip them. Gronkowski, you can't let him run a clear route. Backfield, you cannot allow him to run a clear route to the sidelines where they have plenty of room. You can't play soft because Brady will pick
Joe,
you apart.
I thought
they
coached scared defensively, and they were too
it's
afraid.
It's been all year.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been all year,
I
Joe.
I agree. They were too scared of getting beat over the top, and so when they faced good quarterbacks,
you're saying they? It was Jonathan Gannon.
John, he's the head coach of them, man.
I'm telling you, like that whole idea, he's the offensive head coach of the team. The way I see it, Jonathan Gannon is the offensive head coach of the team. I mean, sorry, the defensive head coach of the team.
I get your point.
I think he delegates a lot more than you appreciate.
Yeah, but a better coach wouldn't need to do that as much. Is my
point. I'll interject with that. I don't want Nick Sirianni to be like Brett Brown in the way that he cares more about how his players feel about him as a person rather than as a coach. He cannot fall into that trap.
That's a good comparison because Brett did not push Ben hard enough, and it led to this nonsense. You know, I mean,
correct. And I think that the Eagles could have been, if they're more aggressive mindset, coaching wise, more aggressive scheme wise, I think the defense fell into that passiveness based off of how their approach was,
like the offensive line did in the first half
of the season.
Yep.
The offensive line was passive and they played passive.
All right,
Joe, give me
your Sixers point. What do you got?
I'm just tired of the organization in general, Flyers, Sixers, where we don't matter. Forget about Embiid mattering, and he's awesome. Trust me, when he shows up to play and he's got no health issues, the guy can rock the basketball court.
Yep.
But when you hear media now becoming soft in the city, like they owe it to Giroux to trade him. This guy's quit on this organization. He's gotten so many coaches fired. When you look at the Sixers organization and Daryl Morey, having the fans come out to play, watch them play in the situation our world is in, and not doing anything to help Embiid, help the coaching staff, but more importantly, help the fans who walk through that building every single night or watch on television every single night. When you keep Ben Simmons, who he's never going to play again, and you're going to play this, I'm waiting for the best offer. Life is not a guarantee. And for Daryl Morey to give up on this entire season and give up on the fans for an entire season, to me, is something that I will never forget this organization for. And I don't watch them anymore.
All right, Joe. So let me address that. Appreciate the call. I will say this. I think Morey's strategy actually is looking better right now than it did, let's say, 3 weeks ago. And here's why. If you haven't seen the standings, the Sixers, and it's actually pretty impressive given the fact that they had that horrendous, like, 2.5-week stretch when everybody was out with COVID. They actually are 2.5 games out of the top spot in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, you can – and I don't think it's fair to say Daryl Morey's given up on the season. If he doesn't trade Ben Simmons by the trade deadline of February 10th and it's February 11th, then you can say, look, this is just ridiculous that – they're going to get no value. Ben obviously is not playing for the Sixers again. That's crystal clear. But I don't.
So you
10 bucks my way, huh?
Well, I'll officially give you the 10 bucks when, you know, when I actually have to pay the Piper. I mean, why am I going to pay early? I mean, I might make interest in the next 2 weeks. I'll make a 0.0001 penny in the next 2 weeks on 10 bucks interest. Look, all I'm saying is wait till the trade deadline to assess whether he gave up on the season. I don't think it's fair to say he has. He's waiting for the best offer. I think it's probably been a foolish strategy in that the best offer he's going to get probably has already been on the table.
I don't know that.
Well, I don't know that either.
I'll tell you what, Joel plays the way he's playing and continuing to improve. He becomes a major attraction to, I don't know, some of these guys who might have been hesitant to want to become a Sixer at some point.
I mean, listen, I'm telling you.
He already was, sure. But, man, this is a whole new level.
Oh, he's great.
Of Joel Embiid.
He's unbelievable.
Like, he's the talk of the NBA.
Yeah, well, look, he was player of the month in, December, yeah. I think it was, and he's rolling.
And now he's even better than that.
Yes, he is. Let's go to Bob in Doylestown. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. First off, I want to wish you both a happy new year. I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys. So,
happy new year,
I wish
Bob.
You both a happy new year's and a healthy and safe one.
To you too, Bob. By the way, happy Valentine's Day, because we're just about as close to Valentine's Day as New Year's.
That's a big day for you, Joe, in the bathtub, you know,
there you go.
And I'm sure there you go. But
candles.
With that being said, I'd like to basically give you a quick snapshot of basically my analogy of the year in review.
Okay.
If we go back 12 months at the end of last year, we got a lot to be positive about. Number one, we had 4 wins last year. This year we finished with 9. That's an improvement. No matter how we look at it, we only play the schedule that the league gives us. So, I mean, you play your opponents and you hope for the best. So we improved there, okay? The coach, I think he improved as the year went on. Joe, John, you both started in jobs. John, you were a professional football player. You weren't as good as a rookie as you were once you had two or three years in the league, once you understood what was going on.
And I'll say this, Bob, this show's an example, because I'll tell you what, I honestly, and I mean this, I think the show John and I did in the first 6 months in 2016 and 2017, I thought it stunk. I'm being honest with you. I thought we hit a stride about 6 months into our show around the draft when it came to Philly. So to your point, people and entities do improve, and there are a lot of examples.
100%. And but I think we can honestly say the coach improved as the year went on. Yes. I thought he handled himself well this morning when he spoke with Angelo. But with that being said, I'll give you a quick snapshot of the team.
Okay.
I think he needs a few experienced coaches. Other than Stoutland, Stoutland did it. We got a positive with the offensive line. Kelsey's the only question if he's coming back. I think we need to look at possibly grooming or drafting a center. We have three first-round draft choices, which we didn't have a year ago. We got rid of a quarterback that didn't want to be here, and we cleaned that mess up, okay? The arrows are pointing up, gentlemen. They're not pointing down. Our special teams coach, he needs to be fired. Special teams was a disgrace this year. Absolute disgrace. We can only hope and pray that the defensive coordinator gets hired by one of these guys, and I would bring a more experienced gentleman in to coach them.
Yeah.
We have three draft choices. I would take what's in front of me right now, draft a linebacker, draft a safety, and draft to improve either my center position to prepare for Kelsey's
yep.
retirement.
Yep.
And I would also possibly look at getting an edge rusher.
Oh, I think that's big. And listen, Bob, great.
I think what we have in front of us, though, we have a lot more positives this year. And you know what? We were relevant this year. Whether that's the seventh seed or not, they got to go to a playoff game. They got to experience that. We may not like that they didn't take the kickoff and this and that. But overall, we're in a far better position today than what we were 12 months ago.
I agree with that, Bob. I got you. I agree, and I think that's well said. Hey, we have a $25 Boston Market gift card to give away today. John, it's back. Scream, the whole Scream thing, the movie Scream from, I guess it was about 25 years ago when it first came out. Then there was a 2, and then there was a 3. Somewhere along the line, there was a 4, but now we've got Scream 5. Scream is back. There's a lot of things, John, that are back in society that, you know, whether it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, were a big deal and might not be quite as big a deal now, but they are back more than they had been, let's say, 10 years ago. John, I'm curious from you, from Seltzer and everyone at 215-592-9494, give me something that's back, more prevalent today than, you know, maybe 5 or 10 or 15 years ago. Basically, it was a thing, it was a lesser thing, and then it kind of rebounded to being more of a thing mm-hmm. again. Best answer, whoever gives it, is going to win the Boston Market gift card. John, what are you thinking here?
Flannels.
Yep.
Flannels, well, they were never gone for me. I have been wearing them for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. But they were huge when I was in high school. That was like the whole grunge era.
Yep.
And disappeared for a lot of people for a while. Now I can't keep my hands on my own because they're stolen by my children.
Oh, boy.
They're wearing flannels.
Do you turn them into the cops for stealing?
I don't.
No, you don't do that?
I allow it.
No, you allow you.
Yes.
Seltzer, talk to me. Something that's back. What do you got?
Bell bottoms. Apparently, that's a thing again.
Wow.
I have not seen that.
I haven't either. Apparently, it's
I like
a thing.
Those.
Yeah.
I've never worn
them. I was
them.
Never a big fan.
Wow. All right, I'll give you two that I think most people would, unlike, because I don't think Bell Bob's a good answer. I have not, if I haven't seen it, how back can it be? Because I'm hip. I mean, I'm out there in the world. So, I mean, I'm out there, you know, cruising around. So if I haven't seen Bell Bottoms aren't actually back enough to be a good answer. But I'll give you two things that are definitively back. The whole Karate Kid thing is totally back. Now, that came back about 3 years ago. 4 years ago. It's in season 4 now of Cobra Kai. But, I mean, you're going back to the mid-'80s into, I don't know, maybe the early 90s. Basically, it disappeared for about 27, 28 years. So having Karate Kid back by way of Cobra Kai is very cool. The other thing I'd say is record players is back in a bigger way. There's a there's like, you know, more people are buying record players. There's a nostalgia to it. A lot of people have, you know, records from growing up or their parents' records or their grandparents' records. Like, oh, I got all this great music. Let me do something with it. Oh, I need to have a record player that works. Let me get one.
I was at a store at the mall last week that is only records.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was not the case. There was no such store 15 years ago.
No.
There was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, but not 10 years ago. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Give us something that's back. Best answer by the end of the show. That person will win the Boston Market gift card. And where do you stand on Nick Sirianni? Glad he's the coach. Not so sure. You think he's bad after year one? Your impressions of Sirianni. Let's go to Mike in Holland. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. So regarding, first of all, let me say, I don't call. I listen to all this, all the shows on 94, and I rarely call, but I just felt compelled on this one. Because I called earlier in the year, and I was really critical of Sirianni and Hurts. I was like one of the, you know, this guy needs to be fired kind of thing after like game seven or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I honestly think he's earned another year. He has a long way to go, a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. One of the things about his press conferences, it's funny, with Andy Reid and, you know, the Belichicks of the world, you get the one-line, two-line answers and everybody laughs. Nick needs to take a page out of their book and shorten his answers because less is more.
Sure.
He needs to realize less is more with the interviews. That's number one. Mm-hmm. But he's a very likable guy.
But I appreciate he doesn't go that route because he does give you a lot to chew on sometimes.
No, that valid point, John. You can't argue that. But I just think he like paints himself into a corner sometimes with some of the stuff he says. And, you know, look, I was one of the ones like, you know, like cracking up with the flower analogy, like this guy's out of his mind. And look, it worked, you know, and it worked. And so with one of the things I think he did what he could with what he had, but he has a lot to learn. You know, Gannon, I'm praying nightly with my son before he go to bed. Yeah, Lord, please have Jonathan Gannon be a head coach somewhere else because he's out of here. Because that's a big problem. Because one thing about Sirianni, he tried things with the offense. And maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. You know, he went to the run game halfway through, probably later than he should have. Gannon never tried anything aggressive or pressing. Okay, he didn't have the horses. Well, how do you know? You know, I'm a basketball coach, and I didn't think I could do full court presses with some of my teams until we tried it. I'm like, oh wow, guess what? We can. But they're professional athletes, for God's sake. You had to try it. So that's that. And
Mike, something that's back. What do you got?
Yes, yes. I don't know that it's a winner, but it's real. Google it. It's out there because somebody showed it to me at Christmas. The Polaroid is back.
It's been back for a while. I didn't know that. All right, Mike. John, you've known that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you go to there are stores now that sell the Polaroids, that sell the film. Like I have two Polaroid cameras now at my house that the kids like to use because it's, you know, the immediate gratification.
Let me ask you a question. Do you miss the photo album? Because I do. I mean, you know me. I'm as nostalgic as it gets. And a photo album is like the most nostalgic thing.
You have it on your phone. What do you need an album for?
I'm asking you if you miss the actual album.
It's on my phone.
The phone. I mean, it's just not quite the same.
Nah, it totally is for me. It totally is. It really is for pictures. Maybe not for other things, but for pictures.
But here's the thing: no one ever
easier. They're right there always.
Yours are. I agree with you. Yours are. But part of it is no one hands you your phone and say, "Hey, scroll through my pictures."
Well, I don't want to scroll through other.
If you went to someone's house 20 years ago,
I don't like looking at other people. Why do I want to look at someone?
Sure.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
No, and it might be something back to childhood. They might have gone on a trip.
What do I care about the trip someone took?
I'm sure you've looked through someone's photo album back in the day, right?
Not really, no.
John, have you ever looked through?
I don't remember ever
doing that. Who checks out other people? Hey, let me look at your photos
of
your family.
Photo
and what
album?
That's so weird,
pictures
man.
Pictures from college?
No, you don't look at that. You look at your own stuff.
Yeah, you see the photos that they have displayed, but I can't remember ever going
looking at
someone's
photo. It's so weird, dude.
I disagree. I mean, with their permission. I'm not saying be a
creeper. I understand your point. I'm saying I think that's weird. Like, I don't think other people like to look at other people's photos.
Well, my point is it used to be on the coffee table. So if I'm sitting there and there's on the coffee table a photo album, you flip through because it's like on the coffee table.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me.
All right, let's go to Tom right now. Tom, you're on WIP.
Yo, Hammer.
What's up, Tom?
Richie, how are you?
Great,
Tom. You got a very distinctive voice and draw. I like it.
Do you think, I've been living here in the South for 47 years. Okay. I grew up on the corner of 10th and Snyder in South Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
I was 9 years old.
Yep.
Do you think I have a distinctive Southern accent, right?
It's not Southern. I mean, I think you might talk slower because you're in the South, but otherwise, I wouldn't say it's got a Southern sound.
No, I appreciate that, dude. I was just checking you, man.
Yeah.
Because
no, you're South Philly all the way, Tom. I can tell.
Thanks, brother. Hey, by the way, Joe, that deal, I don't know who was it with the Denver radio. Or...
Denver, yeah.
I didn't hear it, Doge, but I love it, Joe.
I also took a shot at Richie during that interview.
Did you?
Yeah, because one of the guys interviewing me, someone's wife like went to school with John or something. I couldn't quite follow it. And so I praised John for being, you know, the high school star and the PA state titleist, you know, 1993 when John was the star running back. And then I referenced Hal, and then, you know, in college and the pros, they got smart and said, let's just use this guy as a blocker and not give him the ball anymore. And the host kind of seemed to chuckle, and they appreciated that. So, yeah, I got a little shot in at John on Denver radio yesterday. But I also praised him. I mean, it's
the truth.
No, with you, you would have gave him this lifetime stat.
Well, I don't know all that. All right, Tom, what do you got here on Sirianni? Where do you stand on Nick Sirianni's Eagles head coach?
Well, man, I think we're going to be cool with him. He's going to gain confidence. But that deal the other day, though, I do have an issue with it. Okay, now, I've been back hurt since we played here before anybody knew him. Before they were losing, the defense did bend, but it didn't break.
Yep.
It was 14-0. They held him to a field goal, 17-0. Hurts makes a horrible decision where we at least could have got 3 points and got a little bit of something. And then as soon as he comes back out, he makes another one. I would have benched him at halftime. I don't care hindsight. I don't care loyalty toward Hurts. I don't care, man. I'm saying it.
We'd not have done it. I thought about it, Tom. I'm glad he didn't do it. I think it was the right decision. Tom, give me something that's back.
Okay, real quick, Embiid is just, I've never seen a level like this. Hats off to him. He's playing without supposedly one of the greatest players in the world, Ben Simmons. Yeah, right. Big shout out to Embiid. I'm going to say tattoos.
I'm sorry, what did you say, cartoons?
Tattoos.
Oh, tattoos.
Did they ever go away?
No, they never went away.
Yeah.
They never went away. Can't be a winning answer if it never was really minimized in society, and it wasn't. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. Which do you feel more about Nick Sirianni's Eagles head coach after his first season? Are you more encouraged or are you more discouraged? I am both encouraged and discouraged, but what am I more? I am more discouraged, honestly. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. Joe to Cameron General, jump ahead. Elliot Stewart Parks wraps up the Eagles season with us. His thoughts as the Birds move to the offseason and all the phone calls up ahead as well on 94 WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances that it just makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, you can bet passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns, plus with live in-game betting and the awesome same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app, it's custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player, a player you're watching, or bet on any game. Download the app, get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA, use my promo code JRWIP, and then check out Pro Football Sunday. LA is getting 3 points in Tampa. I think LA has the talent to pull off the upset. They're +123 on the money line. The over-under is 48.5 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best. The Park Sportsbook app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.